So we started discussing last night the concept of pikuach nefesh docha Shabbos, the concept that if one's life is in danger, that one is even allowed to desecrate the Shabbos. Of course, you're not desecrating the Shabbos because you're allowed to, but if it was it would be a desecration of the Shabbos if it wasn't a life-threatening situation. But human life takes precedence. We know, save the big three, the three commandments we have to give up our life for, not to commit idol worship, adultery, or murder. Save the big three, one has a commandment to violate any potential aveira in order to save oneself or save someone else. So one of the sources of the Gemara in Yuma marshals a couple of sources. The first source the Gemara marshals is a source that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos. In fact, the Yerushalmi writes, the first halacha a Rav should teach the community is Pikuach Nefesh Docha Shabbos. Because they should know, because as the Yerushalmi writes, the one who asked the question, Hashoel Ki'ilu Shofech Domim. If you have to ask the question, that can make the difference between life and death. The 5 minutes it takes you to run over to the rabbi or whatever, so that could be a difference. So therefore, if you have to ask the question, it's like shedding blood. And it says, Hanishal, the one who is asked, Hareza Maguna. It's not a good thing. Why is it my fault that you're asking me? Because that means I didn't teach it to you before, and therefore we're wasting time now. So therefore, Pikuach Nefesh obviously is every second makes a difference, and therefore you have to go ahead and take care of the individual right away. So they point out, so what's the first source the Gemara gives? The first source actually is the source from the Mitzvah Milah. So, because Milo, we know the halacha is Vayom Hashmini Yimo Besara Lasso. On day 8, one is obligated to have a circumcision. And we learn Vayom Afilo B'Shabbos. The halacha is on day 8, even if day 8 is Shabbos, one is obligated to do a Bris Milah. So the Gemara makes a drasha. If regarding Aver Echad, when you do a circumcision, it only involves one part of the body, and yet we say you could desecrate the Shabbos for it, how much more so, Al-Achas Kama V'Kama, you want to save someone's life, you're permitted to violate the Shabbos. Even though in the case of Amigo, you're not really, the child's not necessarily in danger, maybe spiritual danger, but that's the first drasha. Gemara learns out from Mila that if by Aver Echad one is obligated to go ahead and do a bris on Shabbos, how much more so to save one's life. The second source in the Gemara is the source of last Parshas Kisiso we just read. We do it Friday night davening. We do it the other parts of davening with Shamru b'nei Yisrael es haShabbos. The famous pasuk that we say we have to keep the Shabbos, it says lasos es haShabbos. What do you mean lasos? So the Gemara has a famous drasha. I think it's Rav Shimon ben Menasya. Again, it's Yuma Pehei Peidalit around there Peibes. So the Gemara says that better to mechalo Shabbos achas kidei sheyishmor Shabbosos harbe. It's better to desecrate one Shabbos than it is to keep many, it's better to desecrate one Shabbos than you, in order you could keep many more. Kadesha Yishma Shabbos is harbe. Because let's say someone's dying and you gotta go to the doctor, you gotta go to the hospital, whatever has to be done, you gotta take your pills or whatever has to be done. So then, at least it's true, you're gonna desecrate this Shabbos, but if you don't do anything, you're going to die and you'll be dead. Meisim chafshim in mitzvahs. When you're dead, you can't keep Shabbos, you can't put on tefillin, you can't do any mitzvah. So better to desecrate one Shabbos so you should keep many more. In fact, there's an interesting Orachayim, what others discuss, which we don't paskin like, but they say, let's say you only have a couple of days to live. Let's say you're someone, obviously you never know for sure, unless, you know, maybe if a Navi Mukhsak of a trusted Navi tells you, even then, it's never a guarantee, is, let's say they say, you're only going to live 3 more days, so am I allowed to machalo this Shabbos? Because the Drasher says, the reason why I'm allowed to desecrate Shabbos is so next week, the week after, the next 10 years, I'll be able to keep Shabbos. Let's say I can't keep enough. So there is the Arachayim HaKodesh, who actually discusses perhaps not, and others, we don't paskin that way. We assume even Chaye Shah, to keep someone alive for another 10 seconds, another 1 second is enough. You know, they could do tshuva in that moment. The Gemara talks about in Yuma, a different case where someone's found, like we see the picture, something, either hurricane, earthquake, or this terrible disaster, a house falls down and someone's stuck underneath. So the Gemara discusses a case where you know that person, he's going to die within the next hour, or, you know, whatever it's going to be, in a short time period, and we say, yes, we machalo Shabbos, even to say, because as the Miri writes, that you could do tshuva, you could still do mitzvahs for the next 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So we assume every moment counts, but it's just an interesting thought that if you're only, if you only can desecrate a Shabbos, you can keep more. If you can't keep, if you took it literally, that's what it would mean. So there are those who say it, but halacha, we don't assume that way. We assume that, as always, we don't really know anyway. Not even the doctors and nurses are experts. I know, working at in a nursing home, no one really knows when it's going to happen. I find nurses know better, the ones who see it all the time. But let's say sometimes I see they tell me it's a person's palliative, you know, 3 years later, they're still palliative. And other times, the time I get to the room, it's like too late. So like palliative is a very broad statement, what it means. But in terms that no one really knows when it's going to happen, certainly not to the degree of an hour or a day or a week. So nevertheless, so therefore we assume, even if you're not going to keep more Shabbos, but that's the drasha, better to b'chalo Shabbos achas, k'dei sheyishmor Shabbos v'zarbe. And the third drasha the Gemara makes is v'chai bahem. So the Gemara says Judaism is about living. It's a living religion. We want to live by it and v'losh yamos behem and not die by it. So the Gemara learns out that v'chai behem is teaching me that absolutely you got to do everything possible to ensure that a person comes out alive. And that's why, in fact, the Gemara seems to conclude with this reason. In other words, the Gemara, if this is the opinion of Shmuel, I believe, the Gemara asked, what do we learn from the third source that we wouldn't know from the first two? In other words, so what the Gemara seems to say is that from the first two sources, I only know vadai pikuach nefesh. I know if you're definitely going to die, so then you're allowed to desecrate the Shabbos. But how do I know, let's say, I'm not sure, which is 99% of the cases probably, you never know for sure. A person got hit by a car, I think he can make it a couple of months. Obviously, no, you don't do that. You get in your car or you call the Hatzola ambulance. We don't say that because we paskin based on the Chai Bahem that it's absolute terms, that you do everything possible, even if you're not sure. You go ahead and you desecrate the Shabbos. So we have the Gemara Marshall's three sources as the source of the Mila, that if Tikkun Eiver Echad, this to do a Mila on Shabbos, we desecrate Shabbos. So too, to save someone's life, we certainly desecrate Shabbos. Again, desecrating in parentheses, you aren't desecrating Shabbos, you're doing a tremendous mitzvah, pikuach nefesh, but it would be ordinarily chilul Shabbos. The second source is Shamru b'nei Yisrael Shabbos, better to machalo Shabbos achas, to keep many more, not just Shabbos, but many other mitzvahs. And the third one, v'chai b'hem, is much more inclusive, even Suffolk Pikuach David, even if you're in doubt. In fact, there's a famous story with Rav Soloveitchik, with his father and grandfather, that Rav Soloveitchik, the one from Boston, the one who was the one in Yeshiva University many years ago. Perhaps I think he passed away in the 90s. And Rav Moshe passed away in 86, I think with Soloveitchik a couple of years later. But be that as it may, so Rav Soloveitchik, I think I assume it was still in Europe then. He fell ill. He was sick. It was Shabbos. Even during my day, I remember house calls. You probably don't know, the doctors used to come to your house. That's what I mean by, in my case, I had a cousin who lived literally like right across the street from me, so we jumped the fence and that was it. But there was a concept of house calls back in the day. And I guess if you know the doctor, you could get some house calls today. But generally, I'm not talking about COVID, I'm talking about this pre-COVID. So nevertheless, so he fell ill. And what happened was, so they called the doctor. That's what you do when someone gets sick. And who was there? So the Rav's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's father is the great Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So that's who this. And I think Rav Simcha Zelig, who was the dayan of Brisk, because Rav Chaim didn't like paskening shailas, because what briskers do is they have chakiras, they see both sides. They could come up with any chumra, or so therefore he left it to Rav. He said, don't tell me your reason, just give me the answer, because I'll shrug up anything you tell me anyway. So just give me the bottom line. So he was the posek, and he was Rav Chaim and the brisker Rav. It's like posek, and probably the posek and brisk. So what happened was, so the doctor came in, so Rav Chaim said to the doctor, do you need any light? So he says, it can't hurt. So he looked at, so Rav Chaim said to his son, of course he didn't do it, but he told his son, Moshe, turn the light on. But at Shabbos, so Rav Moshe like was a little hesitant, turn the light at Shabbos. It's not like the doctor said we need it, he said it can't hurt. And then Rav Chaim started screaming at him, you apikoresh, you heretic, because the Rambam writes, I guess there were the Minim, the Tzedukim didn't believe you're allowed to desecrate the Shabbos to save lives. And I think Rav Simcha Zelig went ahead and he turned the light on. Rav Simcha Zelig was known and interesting, even though the briskers were very machmir, Rav Simcha Zelig was known as a big mako. Well, some might take it as negative, some might take it positive. But I think they used to say the joke in Europe was, anytime there was a question in halacha, and there was a suffix, a doubt, so they used to say, well, it's a doubt, maybe it's, maybe this, maybe that. And then a suffix, maybe Rav Simcha Zelig says it's okay. So they used to make a svek sveka. But nevertheless, so he turned on the light. So the question they always ask on the briskers is, you're always so machmir. They look for every, I mean, let me point, the briskers, chumras, are based on like Gemaras, Rishonim. They're very machmir, but they don't just make up chumras. They have chumras based on earlier sources, and that in contrast to some other chumras that have less basis, let's call it. So they're known to be machmir. So they said, Rav Chaya, I don't get it. You're always so strict, this and that, every chumra, and then all of a sudden someone gets a little sick, you're going to tell them to turn the light on and get the doctor? Like, what's going on here? So Rav Chaim has the famous line that that everyone uses today is, no, I'm not a mako in Hilchot Shabbos. I'm not leaning in the laws of Shabbos. I'm machmir in the laws of Hilchot Pikuach Nefesh. I'm strict on human life. And yeah, any type of doubt whatsoever, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to take care of it. So the briskers were known. And it's not just in Shabbos. Let's say in all areas of health. Like, for instance, let's say by Yom Kippur, so if you're a cholesh yesh bo sakana, if someone's life is in danger, so everyone agrees you're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. However, the question is, what do you mean eat on Yom Kippur? So there's a concept of shiurim. There's a concept in halacha, what they call hakal kal tchila. Like, you try to minimize your, anytime you have to violate a law, under normal scenario, you try to minimize it. So let's say you try to eat less than a certain amount. So, you know, whether it's eating kizayit, or let's say a crackers in, let's say, you know, in, let's say, 9 minutes, we'll call it, or having a shot glass, ounce, you know, less than 5 minutes. We have a different shurim on what they are, but the point being is you try to eat that, you try to have it, you know, you don't eat a certain amount of time you eat less than the prescribed amount, and then you could, and therefore you could eat after that 9 minutes are up, 5 minutes are up, you could eat more, you could have another. So we have a principle, akal kal tchila. You always try to minimize. When you're doing something wrong, not wrong in the absolute sense, you're doing the right thing, you're eating on Yom Kippur. But even when you're eating, you should do the less I could violate, the better. So therefore, so the question is, let's say you're a cholesh yesh bo sakanas, you're allowed to eat. So many poskim assume, okay, eat, but you have to eat within the prescribed shiurim. You can't just eat, like, you can't eat the normal pace. But the briskers, Rav Chaim, others, based on a Magid Mishnah, they say, no, you could, if your life's in danger, don't play around with shiurim, eat whatever you want. But it's against the Gemara. So I guess if you're a brisker, it's a shver Gemara. But it's against the Gemara. No. So obviously the Rav Chaim says no on the brisker, based on a Magid Mishnah. No, when does the Gemara say akal kal tchila? That's when you have to worry about shiurim. When right now I'm a chol eshein bo sakana. Right now I'm sick, but my life's not in danger. But by me not eating or not taking my medicine, whatever the case may be, by me not eating, I will become a chol esheyesh bo sakana. So presently I'm a chol eshein bo sakana. I'm not deathly, I'm just sick. So then you could have shiurim. But if one's already a chol esheyesh bo sakana, so the brisker sheet is that no, you go ahead and you eat kedar, you eat regularly, because we don't want to start dealing with shiurim and a person's life is on the line. So therefore, so in general, the briskers were known in areas like Hilchos Shabbos, Kashrus, they have chumras on everything, but when it comes to life and death issues, they're very strict in the sense of staying alive, because as we said, because better to machal Shabbos achas chedesh yishma Shabbos harbe. So that's the famous story with Rav Soloveitchik and the briskers like that in general. And they discuss, why do we need a special pasuk if we know v'chai b'hem? And why do we need a special pasuk to teach me that you're allowed to machal Shabbos to save a life? Like, why would I think not that way? Why do we need special psukim to teach me pikuach nefesh is dochash? Why would I think Shabbos is different? So, because I mentioned earlier, because there are three things a Jew has a mitzvah to go out Kiddush Hashem. That turn for three cardinal sins, the principle is Yarog V'al Yavor. It's better to go and be killed out Kiddush Hashem than to go ahead and violate. So the big three are, someone puts a gun to your head and says, I want you to murder someone, I want you to worship Avodah Zarah, idols, and if I want you to commit illicit relations, adultery, so then we say there's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Of course, if someone violates it because of it's not an easy mitzvah to fulfill, obviously that's the goal, so then it wouldn't necessarily be over those Averis, you'd just be violating the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. But you wouldn't necessarily be over Avodah Zarah because you're doing it under duress, etc., or murder. But the mitzvah would still be out to go out Kiddush Hashem. So the question is, so Shabbos isn't on that list. So we all know, famous Gemara, many places that Shabbos, as we mentioned, we know from Maaseh Bereishis, we mentioned in Kiddush, we mentioned all the time that 6 days a week you work, and the seventh day you rest. So therefore, Shabbos is a edus, is testimony that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. So many times they talk about someone who desecrates the Shabbos publicly, it's ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. It's like it's equivalent. Why? Because I'm not saying in practice you are, but the act itself is showing a denial of God. So therefore, it's a form of avodah zarah. So the Sitzo is the point that one might think then, if it's a form of Avodah Zarah, so maybe it fits under the big three. Maybe I couldn't violate Shabbos in order to save my life. The answer is no. It's always specifically the big three, even though not an Av Israel, not something that's connected to it, and therefore even on Chilul Shabbos, which represents that God created the world, and Chilul Shabbos represents denial, so even then one is permitted, not only permitted, one is obligated to go ahead and give up one's life. And in fact, so therefore we have, So we have the three different sources that one has to go ahead and give up one's life for Kiddush Hashem. We touched on last that this is physical danger. What about spiritual danger? What if I'm not, there's no risk to my physical health at all? But let's say the case is someone's kidnapped. And let's assume you know the person, it could be a friend of the family or some friend, but it could be someone you know, or it could be whatever, someone kidnapped. And there's no concern of, they're not looking to harm the person, they're looking to convert them or, you know, change them to a different religion, and they're kidnapped on Shabbos. Am I allowed to get into the car now or call the police or FBI or whoever's job it is to go ahead? Because they say, the best chance is within the first 72 hours, they say, of catching someone. After that, it gets a lot more difficult. You have those, you could send out those amber alerts, so what's the halacha? So therefore, that's what the Magen Avraham writes, based on the pasuk we quoted, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos, that you receive from here, that, well, you're allowed to desecrate one Shabbos, so you can keep many more. So what's the concern? So someone's going to be kidnapped and they'll turn them to another religion or not observant anymore, and then they're not going to keep not only any Shabbos, they're not going to keep any mitzvahs. So the Magen Avraham says, based on this pasuk, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos, not only are you obligated when someone is physically in danger and their life's on the line, but even spiritual danger based on v'shamru b'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos. So that's the Yisrael here. We have three, the Gemara in Yuma, three psukim, why pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. The pasuk by Mila, if by Mila you could desecrate the Shabbos, which is Aver Echad, how much more so to save someone's life? We have v'shamru b'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos, and we have b'chai b'hem, and b'chai b'hem even teaches me suffik pikuach nefesh, even if you're not sure, which is the usual case, you could go ahead. The briskers are very machmir on pikuach nefesh, not meiko on hilcha Shabbos, and therefore the story was of salvation, and as well spiritual care as well, and we'll see the rather nafkaminas between the different sources the Gemara gives. We'll have to continue as Shacharis is approaching.